is available at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Jeremiah chapter 13. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 13. Today we continue in our series on mega grace. I, like you, believe that this is a year where God will initiate that grace we call mega. In the Bible, it's called great grace. In the Greek, it's mega grace. Today we're going to talk about what I've entitled Grace, God's Ability. Grace, God's Ability. Let me give you a couple of statements here before we go right into Jeremiah chapter 13. A simple definition of grace is that of divine ability. Divine ability. You often hear me say enabling. Grace is unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. Also, it's enabling. Grace enables us. Grace is not just something we receive, you know, when we mess up. Grace is an enabler. You have your own strength, but you also have God's divine grace. So a simple definition of grace is ability. Grace is God's ability. Grace is God's ability working in man, making him able to do what he cannot do in his own ability. Let me say it again. Grace is God's ability, his divine enabling, working in man, making him able, enabling him to do what he cannot do in his own ability. Now, man has never had the ability to change his nature. Now, I want you to think about that a moment. Man has never, ever had the ability. God didn't give man the ability to change his nature. There's a sin nature. If it's to be changed or dealt with, it has to be changed or dealt with by God. His grace. In Jeremiah chapter 13, verse number 23, the Lord asked Jeremiah a question. He said, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin or can the leopard change his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. It's talking about a nature. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. Neither can a leopard change his spots. Neither can man change his nature in his own ability. All men are born with a sin nature, and no amount of good works can change that nature. You know, you have people that do good things, but it doesn't change their nature. You can have a pet snake, and he just be as cool, and you know, you feed him all the time, and one day he turn around and just, when you ain't looking, he bites you on your behind. And you wonder, what's wrong with the snake's nature? He's a snake. They're nice people in the world. But if they're not saved, still they're governed by that fallen nature. Good works will not change the nature. There's where we as saints of God oftentimes miss it. We think by doing something, maybe I need to just pray more. Or I need to give more. Yeah, you need to give more. I ain't gonna let you off the hook there. You need to give more. Maybe I need to go on a fast. You know, some people can go on a fast, and they mean going on the fast. When they come off, they're meaner. So nothing really you can do can change your nature. And that will always eventually show up. Amen? The law. Now, I'm going to give you a picture of the law versus grace a bit today. But the law didn't change people. It only gave them a standard of conduct. There was the law. God didn't expect anybody. No one can keep the law. Every point of the law, the old covenant, no one could keep it. It was a standard of conduct that God wrote. So what he would have happen is every year a high priest would take a lamb, a perfect offering, and offer it up at the end of the year for atonement for the people. Okay, and God would forgive them of all the mess and stuff that they did that they could not obey. All right? So that was the law. The weakness of the law was the flesh. I'm explaining flesh to you a little more in depth, but the weakness that was in the law, the old covenant, was the flesh. No one could keep the law. Because if you were guilty in one point, you were guilty of the whole law. And no one in their own ability could keep it. So, again, God would have a high priest to offer a sacrifice. And it was atonement. That word, if you break it down, at one meant. That sacrifice would bring them into oneness with God again. That's what he delegated during the time of the old covenant. But it was weak. The law, or the weakness of the law, was the flesh. Let me reiterate that. Go with me to Romans 8 and verse number 3. Romans 8 and 3. It says here in Romans 8 and 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. All right? Romans 8 and 3. What the law could not do. What? It in that it was weak through the flesh. Everyone was guilty. All the time. And were not for the offering of the sacrifice. But see, how many know Jesus was the end of sacrifices? All those lambs and bullocks and turtle doves and all the stuff they offered as sacrifices for sin and for all that stuff, Jesus was the end of that. He was the lamb. He became the sacrificial lamb, amen, that brought permanent atonement. Now, it's interesting. When we study in our school of stature, when we study Old and New Testament perspective, it's interesting how that in the Old Testament, God made man in his image. But in the New Testament, God took on the image of man. In the Old Testament, God received sacrifices from man. But in the New Testament, God became a sacrifice for man. And it's important that we understand the distinction between the old and the new. Tell somebody the new is better. Look at him, tell him, a new car is better than an old car. Wouldn't you agree? So we see here the flesh. Now the flesh, when we talk about flesh, get the definition of flesh. Get an understanding of the flesh. It's not just this, the flesh. It has many distinctions and definitions in the scriptures, but we want to focus on two in particular. The flesh. One definition of the flesh is the cravings of your body. You know, the lust of the flesh, how your body craves, you know, certain things that are not good, that can be sinful. The fallen nature that has not been redeemed or transformed or saved, craves those things. It's the nature of it, like a snake. You can stop a lot of stuff, but if you don't get it out of your heart and that nature doesn't change, it's coming back sometime. It may be 5 years, 10 years, it'll come back. So the flesh, one aspect of it is the craving of the body, but also when we talk about flesh, and this is what I want you to understand, when we talk about flesh here and now, it's man's ability. When we talk about living after the flesh, not just the cravings, the sinful part, but even the good part of it. You're trying to work things out in your own strength, by your own power. That's the flesh. We looked at last time, Are ye so foolish, O Galatians? Galatians, you having begun in the spirit, are you perfected by the flesh? No. God has begun a work in you. So therefore, God has to perfect it. God has to finish it. But our mistake many times, God starts something and we say, oh, look, okay, Lord, I'll take it from here. And you mess it all up in the flesh and you lose your peace and your joy and your victory. And you wonder, well, the word ain't working for you. No, you're trying to work. When it's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. Amen. Now, we are being governed by the flesh. As I said earlier, when we try to change, when we try to perform, or we try to become what we should in our own efforts. You know, even coming to church, even though we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, what Jesus taught us goes far deeper than just a behavior. You know, because there are a lot of people that can behave in front of you. You know, look at that person beside you. They can cross all the T's and dot all the I's. They can say the right things. You know, so that's behavior. And we ought to behave. But Jesus deals with stuff much deeper than behavior. He deals with motives. He deals with your heart. Amen? So it's real important that we recognize these things, so we're not governed by the flesh, trying to work things out in our own effort, yet our heart is not pure. This is the reason why the law didn't work. It depended on the ability of man. Man's ability. And so it never worked, because nobody could live up to it. It was not in man. The ability was not in man. And so every year the high priest would have to go offer our sacrifices. The law didn't give divine ability. Now, look at someone and tell them, Jesus gives us the ability. See, when Jesus came, even though he was under the law when he came, he spoke of a new covenant that will be established after his death.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 5 of Mega Grace. Grace. God's ability. Grace is God's ability working in man. God enables man to do what he cannot do in his own nature. Jeremiah 13:23 states, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Grace gives the saints the ability to change their lives. While living in the flesh, you are accustomed to doing evil. But once salvation entered your life, the desire to live for Christ is stronger. Just as the word says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because of the grace of God, we can live a life of holiness and humility. We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you. Thank you.